The following podcast is an exclusive presentation of Project Entertainment Network.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
The following advertisement is not an endorsement by the American Dream or the Macho Man. It's kind of hard for them to do so. They're dead.
Oh, you want the Macho Madness, all right. Oh, he calls in the madness now. You know what, when you call in the madness, the National University MFA program is a fully online creative writing program with no residency requirement. Oh, no requirements to get savage. You can do genre fiction, friendly horror and sci-fi fantasy. You can do it! Working with horror and sci-fi faculty like Lee Thomas, Lee, and John Coyne, cha-ching. Focus in fiction, creative nonfiction, poetry, and screenwriting. Oh yeah, that's screenwriting. All screenwriting faculty. Active Hollywood professionals. Yeah. Since 2005, the National University Online MFA program has helped working adults learn the craft of creative writing. Oh yeah. Join an alumni network of over 1,000 graduates. Oh, that's a lot of graduates. Yeah. Get the idea in your head on the page. National University is an accredited, non-for-profit university. Explore more at www.nu.edu. Oh, yeah. Dig it.
Thank you for coming to the Project Entertainment Network store. Please place your order. A good choice. A t-shirt for the horror show with Brian Keane. Amanda Method coffee mug. There's more. A Necrocast Icon hoodie. That's sharp. But why on earth would you want Bizong leggings? Wait. Are you Mr. Frank? The Project Entertainment Network store, stacked with goodies from all your favorite podcasts. T-shirts, hoodies, mugs and more. www.projectentertainmentnetwork.com.
Hey, this is Robert Essig and you're listening to the Necrocasticon.
Hi, this is Brian Keene. I'm an international best-selling, award-winning horror novelist.
No comment!
I know where the bodies are buried, and now I'm telling you their location every week on the horror show.
Pardon, no comment, don't you understand?
We discuss the latest news in horror novels, movies, comics, and games, and interview the biggest names in the business.
This interview is over! No comment!
Thursday nights at 7 p.m. only on
Project Entertainment Network.
Wow, I'm taking a call from New York.
Oh my gosh, is that Solon?
Solon? Yep.
Oh my god, Solon Sangaris here on the Necrocasticon. How are you, man?
It's about to happen.
It's going down.
No, it's coming up. You have me on the show.
Solon Sangaris, me, your brother from Virginia, Skip Novak.
Hey, what's Solon up? But then you're Virginia. I'm West Virginia.
West Virginia. I have family up there. They interbred with other family members.
And then that's how we got North Dakota.
No, I'm not part of that branch. You seem fantastic, man, yes. And I'd love to talk to you more.
Want to bomb me?
All right, bye, Solon.
Take it easy, guys. Thanks.
Hey, Walt.
Hey, Tom.
Where's Dan?
Oh my god, Dan's missing. Oh Dan's my god, missing. Code Adam!
Hold on. Is that Scott?
I'm back!
Oh, that's awesome.
Out of the mist like Donnie Most.
No, that was, I ate some bad tacos for dinner. Sorry about that.
Oh, okay.
Quick, shut the door before, oh, fuck.
Hey, guys.
Skip stuck in.
I saw him in the parking lot. I figured I might as well bring him in.
Hey, man, $15, little man. Put that shit in my
hand. In my hand. No.
My jungle love.
Yeah. Oh. I think I want to know you.
Yeah.
Welcome to Volume 5, Chapter
7. A couple weeks ago.
welcome to Volume 5, Chapter 7 of the Necrocasticon, where we blend horror and heavy metal for your pleasure.
Good day.
Yes. We got a big show this week for you. Well, before we tell you that, I'm Tom. That's Scott. I forgot his name almost. Yep. He hasn't been here forever.
It's been so long, 2 weeks.
and that's
out of sight, out of mind.
Joining us from
rock
our
and roll forever, guys.
Sister there podcast. You got to be kidding.
Yes. I heard Iris really missed me.
Yes, Iris misses you too.
Yes, that's nice. Yes.
Well, she'll be coming up later.
Parts of Iris miss you.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. We had that one little thing that one time there, and it meant nothing.
The drunken office party, and the Xerox machine got everything.
She is the Xerox machine.
All right. So,
set my ass on her. Oh, never mind.
We've got a big show again for you, guys out there. Always a big show. Interview with author and editor Robert Essig. Author behind Death Obsessed and other titles. He's a big metalhead. He's going to talk metal and horror with us and extreme horror this week. Walter, you're going to talk about the most recent album from Whitechapel because it and their tour have been making a lot of waves across the country. Mm-hmm. In fact, Scott, on your little video things that you like to do now,
About that a little bit later on. Yeah, my new channel.
I know it's been a few weeks since it came out, but the Alien 3 adaptation on Audible, the audio play adaptation of William Gibson's script for Alien 3 that got nixed, and we got Alien 3 Prison Planet instead, is out, and I got to listen to it, and I'll talk about that, and it stars Michael Bain and Lance Hendrickson.
Does he talk like this?
Yes, he does.
It'd be Michael Biehn. Michael Biehn.
Darwin.
We're going to watch Aliens with Michael Biehn and Sigourney Weaver.
Puff a bubble.
You must die. They're
hostile. Before we get into all of that, it's the point where I'm going to remind you that you can sponsor the NecroCasticon. Can you not, Scott?
Oh, absolutely. And after 2 weeks, I remember how to do this. You go to projectentertainmentnetwork.com, click on the advertising banner on the homepage. You get all the information you need to know. If you want to become a sponsor and advertise your business right here on the show, while you're on the website, check out the merchandise store as well. Grab yourself some cool NecroCasticon swag or swag of any of the podcasts on the network that you want to show support to. But the best way to show support is by becoming a patron. Go to patreon.com/projectentnet. Sign up today. It's only $1 a month for the base package. You get access to all kinds of Patreon exclusive contents, including the RUF and Kidding Me podcast with Tom Clark and Skip Novak right here, right now.
You gotta be fucking kidding me.
And Scott is available for voiceovers.
Yes, I am. Available for weddings, anniversaries, and bar mitzvahs.
All right, what's called Bob Essig?
Hey, Bob.
Bob.
I don't know what it is lately, guys, but we've been getting a lot of requests from some notable people in the, you know, we call it the mid-range independent horror scenes out there nowadays. Jared Barbie was on with us recently, just for example. Great guest. And they all love metal, and they all love horror. That's the great thing about this. And we have another one of them this week with us, guys. It's Bob Essig.
Hey. Good to be on the show.
Hello.
Hey, Bob.
How you doing, sir?
Bob's a fan of me.
Okay, so you have to pass to Walter. Walter stands at our gates. He's the gatekeeper. You have to pass the metal exam with Walter. All right. Walter's going to give you a random question.
Well, should I go with the one that, what's his name? The last guy we had on with the guy, the splatterpunk writer. Oh my God, nice guy too.
Lucas Mangum.
What's that?
Lucas
Mangum.
It was on a couple weeks
yes,
ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, Lucas. Okay. All right, here we go. All right. So Bob or Robert, either or.
Yes.
I'm gonna start off with this one. We're gonna go right to the chase. We're not gonna get easy here, okay? You know how Metallica, Slayer, Megadeth, and Anthrax are the big four thrash? Who would you consider the big four of Gothenburg Swedish metal?
Pull no punches on it.
I'm gonna move to ask the question. He listens to our show
every week, by the way, so he already probably knows. He just can't think of what the four obscure bands that you gave were, Walter.
They're not obscure, actually.
I'm soil working,
In Flames, At the Gates, and
Dark Tranquility.
Thank you.
I heard that on the last episode, but I couldn't remember.
See, it's the Necrocasta quiz. It's the Necrocasta quiz. Got to take notes.
Now, here's my next one, too.
I should have took notes, and I could have sounded like a badass and just listed them, but, you know.
You could have predicted the question he was going to ask and gone like total like Carmack or something like that.
He could have, yeah.
I thought it was going to be a softball like the Iron Maiden or Judas Priest. And I could be like, all right, Judas Priest.
All right, here's my next one. This is a key one, okay? This shows how metal you are. What's your opinion of Blind Guardian?
My opinion?
Fucking asshole.
I'm a fan. I like a couple of those.
Do you think their lead singer is terrible? He doesn't belong in the band?
Nah, I like him.
Tom thinks he is. Tom thinks he needs a new singer.
I have two albums. I like the two albums I have. But I'm not that good. He's got a good range, you know?
Jesus Christ. Him and Jorn Land
are the Rob Halford and Bruce Dickinson of power metal.
Jorn Land's got such a better voice.
I like Jorn Land's got a good hard rock. See, you're a K-Rock guy, Tom. Jorn Land is a perfect K-Rock voice.
No,
he belongs in hard rock and metal.
I'm a K-Rock guy because I like Tobias Forge's voice too. So
Tobias Forge is fucking K-Rock too.
I'm wearing a Ghost shirt as we speak.
Oh, here we go.
It's a conspiracy.
You got
here
me.
Here we go.
That's what I want. You know what? That's what I want. I want Ghost to reimagine and do a cover of a classic King Diamond album.
Oh my God! You want to give Scott a heart attack or age another 20 years?
Too late. No, I think it'd be fine. I don't think
King Diamond's good. I like King
as long as they stay away from Merciful Fate. Just let
the Ghost got to be in it too. You know.
Yeah, and King. Well, yeah, of course. And at the time of this recording,
Toby doing a duet, that'd be great.
At the time of this recording, yeah. Happy birthday, King. Today is King's birthday.
Yes, happy birthday, King. Yes.
So, what kind of metal do you write to? If you write to metal, Bob.
I don't anymore because I don't have an office or anything. I write at the dinner table with the television on early in the morning. So that's
so her so.
I used to when I had a writing room and I had a record player and then I listened to a lot of well, it's not really metal, but I listen to a lot of metal writing. I listened to The Damned and The Ventures a lot for some reason. And that's pretty far from metal.
Well, that non-invasive, again, it's that non-invasive drone music that can just sit in the back and not influence.
So they could just be played in the background, and then, you know, I don't focus on it.
Yeah,
but every once in a while, when I get the opportunity to crank up some tunes because nobody's home, I tend to go to a particular Mayhem record that I'm not a big fan of them, but there's one record I really like that was put out in about 2009 or something. I'll listen to that, or maybe some Angel Witch is another favorite.
Oh, that's a good one.
New wave of British heavy metal. There we go.
Yes, sir.
The first Angel Wish record and As Above, So Below. The two in the middle in the 80s are shit. I don't listen to those.
What about Witchfinder General?
I'm not very familiar with Witchfinder General.
Ooh, you check them out. They're similar.
They would pop up on a Pandora station I put together of mostly thrash stuff, and they would pop up from time to time.
Yeah, they're kind of doomy.
What about Municipal Waste if we're going to talk thrash?
I don't know. You guys go deep, deep, deep. When I first started listening to your podcast, sometimes like, shit, these guys go deep with the shit they listen to.
It's Walter.
None, no lives whatsoever. Yeah. Well, this band that I was just exposed to, Annabelle, Indonesian female thrash metal.
Okay, you got to send me a link to that.
Wow.
you got my interest peaked.
Yeah, yeah.
Does metal influence your content at all?
Sure. Okay, how about this? I have a book coming out next month called Stronger Than Hate. Does anybody know where that comes from?
Pantera, sort of.
No.
Stronger Than All.
It's the title of a song. Sepultura. Song on Beneath the Remains. So,
Walter just got stumped. Wait till we tell there John Bowden.
That was my metal litmus test. Fail. Awesome. My first book is called Through the In-Between, Hell Awaits. So these kind of things, yeah, they pop up in titles and definitely an influence.
We guess that was like from Mary Poppins or something like that. Yeah.
Or actually, I thought that was from a Christopher Cross record, Hell Awaits.
Oh, yeah.
Hell Awaits, my dear.
Wait, I thought you said Chris Cross.
I listened to Chris Upside Down Cross.
Chris Upside Down Cross.
Yep.
Mm. Yeah, we've asked this question to people before. What do you think it is about horror and metal that makes them so interchangeable with their imagery and the words that play between the two of them?
I think that's just it. You know, heavy metal has that imagery of everything that is horror. Everything from all the satanic stuff to just, you know, skeletons and blood and guts and all that good shit. It all goes together very, very well. In fact, we have something here in San Diego called the Heavy Metal Swap Meet. And one year, me and a couple of my local writer friends got a table there. The only guys there selling books, but we made a killing because it goes together. We knew that a place full of metalheads, they're going to dig horror books.
And especially if they bring their girlfriends.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because your girlfriends will eat that up. Because I did a horror and sci-fi garage sale recently. I sold one book to a dude. Everything else was to women.
Actually, absolutely right. We did last year Curiosities and Oddities Expo. Only people selling books, and you're absolutely right. We sold primarily to women. Sold a lot of books, too. Did very well.
Are guys afraid to admit that they read in public or something? I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't know. And we sold it to some guys, too, but you're definitely right, man. Predominantly women were buying the books. I don't know.
Now, that brings up a striking question. There's the past couple of years, there's been this huge, sure. I don't know, call, we'll call it, for more female voices in horror fiction. And yet, out of all of the genres of speculative fiction out there, horror is the one where the female voice is least represented, yet women seem to read more horror than men do. There's like it's unbalanced. It's weird.
Yeah, that's true. And it's when you see it, you know, selling books at different events. Yeah, that really brings that home that a lot of women are buying books. It definitely makes me reflect on my own work and how it's going to come across. You know, I've got good reviews and stuff. My most recent book that I wrote with Jack Branch, Ain't Worth a Shit, got a very good review, and a lot of women are reviewers too. You notice that?
Yes,
a lot of reviewers,
are.
Very, very big. She gave the book a very, you know, glowing review, which was nice. But you never know how it's gonna, you know, how's the book gonna get taken by the different demographics that read it, you know.
Mm-hmm. And now everybody's got the fears of their stuff getting pulled by Amazon because. You know, you put something wrong on the cover or something
something extreme.
Or that an AI misinterprets.
Yeah, somehow it scans the contents and picks something out. Yeah, I've heard a lot of people dealing with that issue. I haven't dealt with it yet, but, you know, I don't know. There's always time.
You write extreme horror.
For the most part, yeah.
Right now, you've got how many books out?
About 14. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't need to answer that for you.
I don't know, like five. I'm not...
Oh, your publicist is here, ladies and gentlemen.
I think I have about five.
Novak. Sorry, I just do research.
But
that brings up a point, Robert. You've been published in 14, whether you've written them or added a short story to a collection.
I've published over 100 short stories. Yeah. So I've got a lot of shit out there.
So you're pretty prolific, and some of the authors you share pages with are pretty heavy duty hitters.
Yes.
Can you go into what that feels like a little bit? Every author experiences something different when they get published the first time. Most of the time it's just elation. Some guys just want to blow their brains out because they think everyone's going to hate them. But you've had continued success. And you've just climbed the ladder one rung at a time, and you've beaten it out. And does it ever get old when you see your name up there with Jack Ketchum or Brian Keene or any of those guys?
Oh, no, it's always a absolute thrill. Sometimes it's kind of, you know, you look at the, you get the book, you look at the list of content, you know, like, holy shit, how did I get in here with all these, you know, people? It doesn't get old whatsoever. I look back and a lot of the early stuff was just crap. I mean, it was unbelievable, all the different things I had to learn, what publishers to avoid. And so I don't send out nearly as much stuff, and I try and go for the anthologies that actually are going to get read and, you know, potentially have a good table of contents with good authors. So, yeah, it's always a thrill to get into one of those books. In fact, I have something that I'm going to announce on the show. I don't know if you want to announce it now or later.
Why don't you? Exclusive right now.
This is an exclusive. So I have a book called Mojave Mud Caves that is going to be published in a signed limited edition by Thunderstorm Books.
Get the fuck out of here.
I've been sitting on this for a long time, not being able to tell anybody. And so when I was going to do the podcast, I contacted the publisher. I said, can I please talk about this? And they said, A-okay, you can talk about it.
Now, was Liebeck one of the editors for that?
Yeah, I think he actually, was one of the editors on the book, yeah.
Yeah, he's a brilliant editor.
Yeah, he did the first round, and then there was another round from somebody else. Yeah, very excited about
now,
that.
Now, Walter Scott.
You made me think about that because of the other people that are published with Thunderstorm. You got Keen, you've got Ronald Kelly, Mary Sangiovanni. I mean, the list is huge.
Yeah, Walter Scott are not really familiar with what Thunderstorm is or what this means.
Yeah, give us the rundown on that.
Yeah, please explain to them.
This is huge.
Okay, cool.
Educate us.
Thunderstorm Books is a company that produces signed limited editions. Usually, I think the runs are about 40 books, and they will be signed by myself and numbered, and that's all there's going to be. My book will be a 100 book edition, 40 signed limited hardcovers and 60 signed limited paperbacks. And that's all they do. These gorgeous collectible books.
Yeah. They're all leather bound with great plates.
Oh, wow.
Heavy paper. Everything's crushed.
Yeah.
Great ink. If there's a dust jacket on it, it is high gloss, heavily detailed, the best art they can possibly
shine get. Them up really good. That's awesome.
They are just
beautiful. It's like the Criterion collection of books.
Yes,
it looks like a horror. Just on your shelf. It's the books that look so good, you kind of don't even want to crack it open and read it.
I don't read any of them.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I don't think people read them.
You can't open it, then it's not a collectible.
Right.
I'm not looking at it. I'm just pointing it. Well, don't point.
No, it can't be read ever. You can't
read it. You have to put these gloves on.
Don't look at it. Don't look at it. No. Yeah. No, it doesn't exist.
The Thunderstorm treatment on their limited editions is better than the Cemetery Dance treatment on their limited editions, which is saying a whole lot.
Yeah,
because Cemetery Dance does all the exclusive Stephen King work and stuff like that. But Thunderstorm goes for a lower tier to get more exposure for people. And it has I've got a bunch of them in my collection. You pay a premium for them, but they are well worth it.
Yeah. So. And they're like fine wine. They go up in value. And they're all good stories in each of them.
And I give mine away. I gave away four of them last year.
Get your name out there. That's what it's all about. Getting back real quick, I just have one question I wanted to ask Robert as well, because we touched on there is some description on his various biographies out there about writing extreme horror. And extreme is a relative term. You know, different people have different ideas of what extreme is. To you specifically, what do you define as extreme horror?
I would say it's stories that, well, probably stories that don't really have any boundaries would be extreme. And that's why sometimes I'm no Rath James White. I don't go there. Mm. Although my last book, Death Obsessed, one of the reviews said that there was a scene that went there. So maybe I don't think I do, and that maybe sometimes I am. So, you know, you don't shy away from showing the gore. You don't shy away from showing all the extreme stuff that, you know, when the camera pans left and the violence is happening on the right, you pan right and you zero in and get a nice extreme close-up of that violence.
Yeah. No. And has there ever been a situation where you've been writing and you consciously realize you're going a little bit too far and you stop yourself from going that far?
Oh, that's a good thought. I'm sure I have, because I kind of don't want to be branded as just an extreme, you know, writer. Mm-hmm. But you know what? You write what you write. I've tried to write contemporary stories, and next thing you know, heads are flying off. It's just barely I can't control that. And I've realized, you know what? Fuck it. If I can't control it, I can't control it. Just write what you're going to write, and I'm happy with it.
Just let it flow.
Yeah.
Let the blood flow, as the case
is. Exactly.
Let blood flow.
Death and Cess has got a great
It's the season.
Yeah, it does.
It's a flashback to the Faces of Death.
That one looks great on a table at an event. People just gravitate to it.
I don't blame you for using it for your profile picture, because, you know, it reminds me of the Faces of Death so much.
Oh, yeah. That's what I told the cover artist. I said, look at Faces of Death and do that. And that's what I got.
Who did it for you?
Matthew Revert.
Oh.
Yeah, he does. He's big on the cover scene lately. His artwork's everywhere.
Yeah, and covers too. We got, you know, there's something to be said about being a little conservative with your covers. I think because it works a little better, because you don't risk, again, Amazon shutting you down. Because
yeah, that's true.
You had, you know, a little bit too much Chuck Tingle on your cover. We'll put it to you that way.
Well, you can always take a page from the Beatles' White Album.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, keep it simple, stupid.
That's right.
You know, I don't know if I have a white book. I don't know how that's going to...
Yeah. Well, you know, you had the Butcher cover, and then they covered...
Well, wait a minute. Matt Shaw, didn't he do a series of books that was just like... it just said something on the top, like extreme, and it had nothing on the cover? I don't know. That worked for him.
Yeah.
Yep. Made it look like it was like, we can't even show you the cover. That's how we're just going to show you the cover. You know, that's how extreme it is.
I think did someone say extreme?
Yeah, I think Cemetery Dance.
You know what comes to mind when I hear the word extreme every time I hear it?
What?
Ghost?
Oh, I know.
Saying I love you is not the word.
There's three facts in life. Three facts. The Earth.
Oh, no.
The Earth is a planet, and it is an orb or a circle. It's not flat. Okay. Anti-vaxxing children do not live past the age of 12, and More Than Words is the worst fucking song that has ever been done.
Right. Even worse than We Built This City?
Yes.
Yeah.
That has Grace Jones. Yeah,
We Built This City is really bad.
Now it's going to be stuck in my head.
God.
Need even the hoopla.
Come on. Pieces of this band almost destroyed Van Halen. That's all I'm going to say.
Did we lose Robert?
That's extreme.
Bleaching his ears.
You know Betancourt. Back when being the guitar. Remember back in the day when everybody was a guitar hero?
Oh, God. You know Betancourt was hailed as like the next Eddie Van Halen.
Yeah.
And,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And the big hit acoustic finger picking song.
Mm-hmm. Well, the finger picking style is nice.
Bumblebee, that led into "Mama, don't want to go to school today." I like extreme, so the hell with all of you.
Thought you're gonna say, "Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys."
That's right.
Okay, so if we're gonna pick a guilty pleasure band, Walt's told us his. What's yours, Bob?
That's not a guilty pleasure. That's a fucking
guilty
great band.
Oh, guilty pleasure band.
Yeah, what's your Nickelback? Because that's obviously Walt's Nickelback.
Oh, that's
I got a bunch of Nickelbacks if you want to tell me. If you want to, you know, we'll throw Mr. Big in there too.
Okay.
And the hell with that you. Works. You say Mr. Big's a shitty band.
I love Mr. Big.
Mr. Big's a shitty band.
Great band.
Sometimes, rather than a specific band, I'll say this. Sometimes
I'll get in my car and fight all of you.
I like Van Hagar.
Okay. Sit down, Walt.
I like Van Hagar too.
I saw Robert, Van Hagar live.
Let Robert answer the question.
Let Robert answer the question.
Aloysius.
I did Yacht Rock. How about that?
What's that?
Yacht Rock, you know, that shit from the 70s.
Yacht Rock.
Like, I can't think of a specific group, but I can dig some Yacht Rock.
What, Foghat?
No.
There's a YouTube series called Yacht Rock. It's fucking great.
Oh, fuck Steely Dan. Something about
Hold on. Calm down. Walter likes Steely Dan, so relax.
Yeah. Something about Donald Fagen's voice that's just is like nails on chalkboard to me.
Like I said, oh, Captain America comes to your door while you're like in admiration of him. He kicks you in your Nazi nuts. Okay? Steely Dan Nazi, all right?
While holding Mjolnir.
Yep. While stroking Mjolnir. While licking Mjolnir.
Oh, by the way, just for the record, we did not win any of the awards at the first annual Scaricon Podcasting Awards.
Yeah, our check wasn't big enough.
Yeah. A podcast that hasn't had an episode since last October won.
Yeah. Yep. Nice.
There we go.
Yeah, we lost out to somebody who hasn't done anything.
We lost to somebody who quit.
Woohoo! Well, maybe they'll start up again.
Yeah, that'll be their motivation to come back.
And they'll fail miserably.
Speaking of motivation, Bob, what's next in line?
What are you working on,
next
Bob?
In line? Well, I got a bunch of stuff coming out. Just released recently is a book called Ain't Worth a Shit that I wrote with Jack Bantry, who we may know from Splatterpunk Zine.
Yep.
And then next month, I've got two books coming out. Another collaboration with Jack Bantry called Insatiable, and a book from Death's Head Press that's standalone called Stronger Than Hate that I mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. That's the most immediate stuff coming out. We have another thing with Death's Head Press, me and Jack Bantry, but we haven't announced that yet.
You want to be the next John Skip or something, collaborating with everybody?
And we've been writing for a while, and all of a sudden this year, this stuff took off.
I'm noticing that the indie scene has turned into the English metal scene of the 70s. Everybody's fucking collaborating with everybody.
Wait,
and Matt Hayward? Holy shit, there ain't a person out there he ain't done a collaboration with yet, except me.
I mean...
I'm reading his collaboration with Robert Ford. Penny for Your Thoughts.
Yeah. Yeah. Penny for Your Thoughts.
It's good, yeah.
Yeah, oh, I'm assuming you got the Thunderstorm edition?
No, I didn't. I just grabbed the... is there a Thunderstorm? No, I didn't.
No,
I
there's
didn't.
Not a Thunderstorm edition.
There's something
edition.
To be said about Bob Ford's prose.
Oh,
it's brilliant. He's up
I don't have the cash for Thunderstorm edition.
Tom said the word prose. Everybody drink.
Oh, wait, hold on.
That is a weekly occurrence, and so take a drink. Remember, take notes, folks. Necrocast a quiz next week.
How many times
does Tom say the word prose? That's not a knock. I'm just making a point.
Tommy, you can always say
basically.
Bob's voice is bar none one of the best in the industry.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Sorry, Rob. Is. But if you're reading Penny for Your Thoughts, you know how he writes.
Yeah.
There you have it, man. Very good.
Absolutely. So where can people find you on the interwebs and find your books?
I'm on, you know, the main social media shit as Robert Essig on everything. You know, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Just put my name in. Of course, I got an Amazon page where you can find all the books.
Hold on, Robert. I did that, and it came up with a bunch of obituaries. Are you trying to tell us something? We're speaking to you from the dead, and this is the first supernatural call?
Maybe.
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 If you Google me, you're going to get a guy who won $1 million on a game show. I can't get above that Robert Essig for some reason. I'm not the one who won $1 million. I guarantee it.
So, shit. Yeah, you know, when you Google me, when you Google Tom Clark, I died twice in the 9/11. Two of me died in 9/11. You know,
and if you Google me, you get some sailor. So,
hey, I'm constantly getting Google alerts telling me I just died. So, you know, yeah, Google alerts. It's always an obituary, like, you died. So maybe I am coming through you via the ethereal realm. You know.
Oh, that's Jason. All right.
Where can people find you at convention appearances?
Nowhere, unfortunately.
You need. To
I haven't done
ass-
a convention since 2010, KillerCon. I just don't have the budget to go. You know, flying or whatever. Here in San Diego, you got, you know, Comic Con. I would like, you know, I don't even step foot downtown when that's going on.
Well, why not? It seemed like it'd be up your alley.
You can't get anywhere. You couldn't get anywhere. If
I haven't been to Comic-Con since 1999, and it was nuts back then. I hear how insane it is these days. I should go down and just give people, like, bookmarks with my book on it or something for free. I don't know.
There you go.
Why not?
Promote myself.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, leave it at coffee houses. Leave it in bathrooms. Just let people grab it, man. You know?
Give it to the homeless guys.
Robert Essig, thank you very much for joining us on the Necrocasticon.
Robert, just dress up as Princess Leia, Slave Leia.
No, don't. No, Skip. No.
Princess Leia with a gold team.
Okay, this one's over. Thank you very much. Have a good night, everybody.
Everything's all good until Skip comes along.
Well, Skip mentions that. Yes.
We're talking to an extreme horror writer. This is nothing. This is Friday night at the beach.
That's right.
There you go.
And once again, congratulations, Bob. That's great to hear about the 100 issue coming out there.
Thunderstorm book.
Thunderstorm, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks.
Bye, Bob.
Bye, Bob.
All right, I'll see you.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Iris here, and I'm back with the top 10 things trending in metal and horror. We learned of Dave Mustaine's throat cancer after recording the show, so we'll hashtag talk about that next week. Damn, that sucks. It looks to be operable, though, which is good. Anyhood, here's the top 10. We kick off the top 10 with movie trailers. Rob Zombie is teasing 3 from Hell for us. And I can't believe I'm saying this, the Banana Splits movie. A revival of the classic show that ran from 1968 to 1970 is a slasher horror flick. But the biggest trailer to hit was Dr. Sleep, the sequel to The Shining evokes imagery from the Kubrick film. With Ewan McGregor playing grown-up Danny Torrance. At 9, in the continuing drama around the metal-less Woodstock 50, Watkins Glen International has now denied the concert access to its grounds after they missed a $150,000 payment. Producers and performers are fleeing this event like it's a burning building or the Titanic. At 8, Ghost has a new promo video out, paying homage to The Shining. And does it tease a new look for the Cardinal? AKA Papa? Lucky number 7 tells us work life is determined black and death metal make you more productive. And it's all about the vocals. Growl. 666 as Stranger Things ramping up the promotion as we near the release of its third season. A Burger King promotion, including upside-down Whoppers and a plot synopsis are just two of the things fans have to snack on until the series returns next month. The top 5 kicks off with Stephen King news. King begged, suggested, Netflix redo an adaptation of his book, Under the Dome. He must have a thing for alien ant farms. High 4. The first reviews of Glenn Danzig's Verotic called it horror's version of The Room. Did we expect anything less? 3 has CV developing a Lobo TV series based on the DC Comics Bounty Hunter. 2 is news Michael Rooker was cast in the TV adaptation of The Dark Tower. But as whom? 1 X-Men Dark Phoenix has shit the bed at the box office. Literally. So did Men in Black International. Why? We have some ideas, ranging from Simon Kinberg to the economy. Here's Tom, Scott, Walt and Skip to follow up on all this.
Movie trailers everywhere. So Rob Zombie releases the 3 from Hell trailer on Twitter.
And I want to see it now.
Yeah.
I don't know how I saw it, but it came across my news feed. I gotta see this movie. My life will not be complete unless I see the next Rob Zombie film.
Well, it's pretty obvious. They wrote a character into this story to kind of take the place of Captain Spaulding, another clown.
Mm-hmm.
And God, we know from last year at Scares the Care that he looked like hell.
Well, he looks very tired. He's like 78 years old.
Yeah.
There's probably some other health issues there that we're not fully aware of, nor is it any of our business, but he's not.
However, I have it on good knowledge that he likes to eyeball Ronald Malfi, author at large.
Okay.
You should have seen our Mr. Scott with Sid Hagen at Scaricon a couple of years back.
Scott was his roadie. I was his roadie.
He helped him set up. It was fantastic.
Yeah. He was talking shit about FedEx and all that stuff. Oh, yeah, he was great.
Goddamn FedEx.
So as much FedEx as this comes out, shit. This trailer comes out, two other trailers this week have hit that really just blew this the fuck away. All right. And one of them is going to be a straight-to-video movie. In fact, as soon as we can get a chance to review this, we're going to make Dan watch it. It's the Banana Splits movie. Remember Banana Splits, Skip?
Better Dan than me.
La 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 la.
Yes, well, the giant puppet show has been turned into a horror slasher.
Sid Marty Croft.
Yep. I love Sid Marty Croft, but not Banana Splits. Give me H.R. Puffin
Puffin
stuff.
H.R. Puffin
stuff. Well, that makes me, that's why I'm asking.
Sigmund the Sea Monster.
So now that we have Banana Splits that's been made into a horror movie, now can we not have a H.R. Puffin stuff horror revival? Because why it's not? Already a horror show to begin with. You know, you've got a kid.
I loved it.
A sexually abused boy. And then you got this evil witch chasing after him.
We got to raise her from the dead. What was her name again? The actress who played her?
Played Witchy Poo?
Yeah, played Witchy Poo. God, shit, it's bothering me.
Forrest,
I know who she
Cloris
was.
Leachman.
No, it wasn't Cloris Leachman.
Phyllis Diller?
Cloris Leachman was young back then. Phyllis Diller, it was definitely on Phyllis Diller. Hold on. Through the majesty of the internet.
She was on Laughing. Wasn't she Ruth Buzzy?
Yeah. Oh, yes, it was Ruth Buzzy. Yes, thank you.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
You're welcome.
Oh. I was either gonna go to Google or ask the ball and chain upstairs, but she was out.
Okay,
let's skip.
All right, so
I'm telling you said that.
Now the trailer that really, really caught everybody's attention this week was for Dr. Sleep, and it invokes a lot of the imagery.
Ewan McGregor of the Clan McGregor.
Invokes a lot of the imagery from Kubrick's film in it, which I thought was brilliant of them to do. Because, you know, that shows how much Kubrick actually did at least follow the aesthetic of The Shining, even though if he didn't really follow much of the story.
Kubrick was a brilliant filmmaker.
Yes.
As far as... And he always wanted to tell his own stories, which he did. It is not... The movie is not the book, and vice versa.
Right, but it still looks the same.
Yes.
That's the point I'm making.
I'm just curious as how they're going to interpret Dr. Sleep by King into this film.
Well, it looks like they've done it. You've got the traveling vampires, and you've got the girl. So there you go. All right, number nine. Woodstock 50 keeps just disintegrating. First, there was one metal band, if you want to call them a metal band, on the ticket. And then that turned into they didn't have a backer. And then somebody took $150 million from them. Now, producers and performers are fleeing this event in record numbers like it's the fucking Titanic sinking. Watkins Glen International Race Speedway has now denied the concert access to its ground after they missed a $150,000 payment this month.
Whoa.
Ooch.
Yeah, this ain't happening, kids.
Didn't they see Wayne's World 2? They got to put on a benefit show. Right. Benefit show to pay the money to put on the show.
Yeah.
At number eight, Ghost has a new promo video out. Those promo videos they put out every now and then.
Gee, I wonder why this is in our top ten this
week. Well, how'd that make our top ten?
Not the top five, you son of a bitch.
Bands like Soilwork and Baroness are putting new shit out. I mean, they can barely mention.
Well, Christ's sake. Calling back to our number 10 in the homages to The Shining in the trailer for Dr. Sleep, this video also pays homage to The Shining with Cardinal Copia riding a bike through the hallways and Papa Nile. That's great. But anyway, he's a new look to the Cardinal.
Does Cardinal Copia make that face Danny makes when, like, he's looking, at whatever the horrible thing he's staring at?
Yes, and then he says, "I'm sorry."
His mouth gaping wide open.
But yeah, the video's out there. Go check it out.
Hey, this is a family show. Keep the gaping wide open young mouths out of it.
We just talked to Bob Essig. We were about extreme horror. My God. And you're telling the people it's a family show now. Great. All right, number seven. Work life is determined black and death metal make you more productive, as we talked about with Bob earlier.
E equals MC cubed.
Yeah.
Look at me and Scott. We're living proof.
You can check out
brilliant.
Of your brain.
And it's all about the vocals, and that's what it comes down to. And like I said earlier, that's why I like Ghost, is because, you know, you can write to Ghost because Toby's voice is just like death metal vocals. It's not invasive.
And trying to formulate certain vocal patterns to incorporate all the lyrics that tend to be written for these songs in death metal, black metal songs, takes a lot of imagination. It really has to open your mind to try to fit it into those four bars.
Yep.
I want to hear Dylan sing death metal.
I found, too, that like if you listen to Iron Maiden or other complicated bands.
The champion of the world!
If you listen to other complicated dynamic bands like Iron Maiden, when you're going to do something that involves problem solving and whatnot, it helps get your mind going, too. It's like audio coffee. You know,
audio coffee, so it wakes you up?
Yes.
Yeah. Number six, Stranger Things is ramping up the promotions. Everything is getting tied into fucking Stranger Things, like it's fucking Star Wars. It's season bigger. 3 years. Burger King's got its upside down Whoppers this month, guys.
That's stupid.
Yeah,
that's dumb. That's
and you know what it is? It's an upside down Whopper.
That's it.
All
you
gotta do is order a regular Whopper and turn it upside down and eat the motherfucker. Don't pay the extra dollar.
That's it. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, Burger King used to be like the top. Now they're like five.
Now they're upside down.
Top five. Yeah, totally upside down.
Yeah,
literally.
Yeah.
Poor bastards.
They are literally starving for attention.
The plot synopsis is out for it, and here's the plot synopsis. It's 1985 in Hawkins, Indiana, and summer's heating up. School's out. There's a brand new mall in town, and the Hawkins crew are on the cusp of adulthood. Romance blossoms. That's good. It makes these kids our age, Skip.
Yep. Hell yeah. Yep. I was in the Navy in 85. But
yep, I was in the Army. Yeah. And they'll have to figure out how to grow up without growing apart. Meanwhile, danger looms.
Grow up without growing pubes.
When the town's...
Buy razors.
When the town is threatened by enemies old and new, Eleven and her friends are reminded that evil never ends. It evolves.
Now they'll have to band together to survive.
And remember that friendship is always stronger than fear.
Stronger than fear.
All right, number five.
Is the slug coming back? Is the slug coming back?
Yes. Let's go back. Let's go into the top five.
D'Artagnan.
The top five. Star five starts off with Stephen King begging Netflix this week to do an adaption of Under the Dome.
Yeah, I saw that. That's hilarious, man.
Please, because the last time CBS fucked it up.
Sucked. Yes, please, Netflix. Give them your money.
All right, number four is great. Okay. In fact, number four is getting pushed to number three. Screw that. Right. Number four, Sci-Fi is developing a Lobo TV series based on DC Comics Bounty Hunter. Everybody loves
it. Is that because Lobo's from
Superman?
Yes.
So he's coming out of the Krypton show to do a sci-fi show on his own?
Yes.
Apparently, yeah.
Is he going to be on Earth fighting Superman?
I don't know.
No, I think that went maybe like an anti-hero, like fighting for people or something like that.
I'd rather see a cable show, just a pure cable show.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'm actually pushing number three down to number two now because it's that it's that great. It's beginning to generate that much buzz. All right. So number three is now Michael Rooker, who has now been cast in the TV adaptation of the Dark Tower TV adaptation.
Hell's motherfucking yeah.
This cast is just brilliant so far. The guy that got playing the man in black is the guy that plays King Harold.
Oh, he's fucking great. He's fucking great. He was in Black Klansman. He was like the most racist. He was the worst KKK guy.
Yeah, he was.
In Black Klansman, where you have David Duke, who's all like, "Hey, I'm David Duke. Look at me, everybody." Yeah, this guy was like full on fucking. You know, I hate it. You know,
and his wife was the woman who's going. He was awesome.
All right, number two. The first reviews for Glenn Danzig Veronica have come in, guys. Because you know it's playing it. It's playing.
Are you really
Cinepocalypse
shocked
this weekend? And I'm not shocked that these reviews have come in. What has shocked me is that it has instantly been gaining cult status.
What?
Glenn Danzig's Erotic is being compared to The Room.
No.
It's called They're calling it the horror, the room of horror movies. The only problem with it is that it doesn't have any horror. It just has splatter.
Splatter and new, and I'm sure there's tons of boobs in it too.
Tons of boobs. Glenn loves
boobs and everything.
If I want to see tons of boobs.
Everyone is 4'11" to make him feel good about himself.
My aspirations as a teenager was to be the guy on the bottom of the Thrall Demon Sweat live album cover, if you know what I'm saying.
But here's the thing. If I want to see nothing but boobs, I've got this CD, or I'm sorry, it's not a CD. It's a DVD that Ed Lee gave me about one of his homemade films.
Oh, Ed Lee movies? No, we've talked about that.
Oh, my God.
And if I just want to see tons of boobs, pop that in.
Yeah. I'm right there with you. I just popped in one of my Bills Above library. I can
Bills Above or fuck. Anything from Lloyd Kaufman as well is great.
There you go. Yeah, exactly.
So I'm just curious to see how bad this movie is.
Well, speaking of bad movies.
What's going to number one to now?
If we get access to it.
I want to ask a question here. How the fuck can the same person fuck the same story up twice in 20 years? I'm presenting this question to you.
Myopathy.
Myopathy? So that's what you're saying that Simon Kinberg's problem is?
Yes.
All right. X-Men The Last Stand and X-Men Dark Phoenix are pretty much the same fucking story. Jean Grey gets possessed by an entity. It's a cosmic entity. It's a cosmic horror story. And drives her mad and makes her ultra powerful. Twice they have fucked this up. Once it was Brett Ratner's fault, they said. But now it's clear after Dark Phoenix has come out that it's Simon Kinberg's fault.
Are you sure it's not the writer's fault?
Well, because Simon Kinberg fucking wrote The Last Stand.
No.
And Simon Kinberg wrote Dark Phoenix and directed Dark Phoenix.
So what you're saying, Tommy, is that Hollywood hires shitty writers.
No, what I'm saying is that Brett Ratner's been shit on for 20 years. 20 fucking years now.
He still gets work. He still gets work, and so does McGee. They both still fucking get work.
Because of The Last Stand, he's been shit on by fanboys for 20 years.
Oh, Brett Ratner's made shitty films even before The Last Stand. I was pretty
upset. But here's the thing, he's gotten this undue because it wasn't his fault. It's pretty fucking obvious. No, it was Simon Kinberg's fault.
Fucking Simon Kinberg!
So they didn't put in from the comics, the crucifix scene.
Who knows what they put in this? I haven't seen the movie yet. I'm talking on what I've been educated on by people and what the overwhelming response to this film has been. It's been a financial disaster, yet another financial disaster.
Kind of saw that coming.
Yeah. Men in Black International.
Disney has acquired Fox. Nobody gives a fuck about this batch of X-Men movies. They want to see the X-Men in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Well, not only that, is that Disney doesn't give a fuck about these movies. And they are losing money left and right. And I think, again, remember I said last week, Fox knew this was going to happen, that these movies were bad. And that's why they sold to
Disney.
We
might not even get a chance to see New Mutants. New Mutants might get the same treatment the Roger Corman Fantastic Four got. We may never get a chance to see it.
Good, because I hear it's awful.
Yeah.
Hold on. Maybe Disney is playing their cards close to their chest. All right. They own just about everything now. And
you're spitting these movies out, Skip.
Hold on.
Like they mouthwash and gargled.
And fanboys go to them. But I can almost guarantee you there's going to be a reboot. A reset.
5 years.
Retcon. Yeah. And it's all going to come out new, and it's going to be like a Kevin Feige.
Yeah. And you know what's going to happen?
Storyline.
They're going to get three movies in. They're going to say, oh, shit, let's call Simon Kinberg and have him do the fucking Dark Phoenix story again. You can't fuck it up three times.
Nope, they're not going to do that. They're going to tie it into the Secret Wars.
No, they'll call David Goyer in to do it. Yeah.
No, they're going to tie it all into the
Eli
Secret
Roth.
Wars. They're going to have a 10-year plan for the Secret Wars, just like they just did with the Avengers. There's going to be like a 10-year plan for Secret Wars.
Yeah, we know there is. Yes, yes.
Exactly. So that's what they're going to do. They're going to retcon everything.
Hey, Skip.
Yeah.
Skip. I just got a call from Jim Beam.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You got some extra?
Yeah, there. Anyway. Whitechapel is notorious as a place that Jack the Ripper killed a bunch of people.
I was gonna do a pop quiz and see if anybody knew the origin of the name. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah. And not only is it that, it's one of the premier doomy death metal-y bands out there.
New wave of American heavy metal.
Yeah, well, if you want to call them that, they're kind of doom.
Death. They're an eclectic mix of things. They're a little death metal. They got some groove built in, giving some doom metal vibes. All right, so.
But Scott, you've been doing this video thing lately, and explain to our listeners what you've been doing.
While I was on vacation, I thought about doing this and finally pulled the trigger on it. I have created my own YouTube channel, which is basically called Mr. Scott Reacts. And what it's all about is I've been a fan of the reaction community on YouTube for some time now. There's a lot of great people doing some cool content. People like Lost in Vegas, Alex Hefner, Pink Metalhead, Venansori, people like that. And they're people who are not very educated in the world of metal, and they listen and watch metal music videos, and they give straight-up reactions to it. These are all songs
that were sponsors. Not paid sponsors.
Nope, not paid sponsors. Nope. And they just sit back and watch it, and these are all songs we all know. You know, so it's cool to see new people getting exposed to new music. Most of the time, they really like it, and they become fans of the genre. So I thought, what the hell? There's got to be some fun involved in this. So I jumped in and started doing it. Mr. Scott Reacts is the name of the channel. You can go there now and subscribe if you wouldn't mind. And I do reaction videos to trailers, teasers. I'm going to be doing some try not to challenges. I've done some music videos on there. And one of the songs I did a reaction on, one of the videos I did, was the recommendation from Walt. And that was from Whitechapel. The song was called "When a Demon Defiles a Witch." And
that video is... I love that fucking name.
That's a brilliant title.
That is a brilliant title. It's a good song. You can check out my reaction video on my channel right now. Once I get my new laptop, which is on the way, I will be getting it soon. I'll be upgrading my channel to get a little bit better exposure and stuff like that. It's very, very DIY right now, very low key. So once I get the new hardware, I'll be having some fun upgrading and getting some better reaction videos out there for the people. And we'll be, of course, cross-referencing stuff happening on this podcast as well.
So, Walter, yes. The Whitechapel album that this is off of, how is it?
The Valley. All right, I'm going to cut right to the chase. It's one of my favorite albums of the year. It's their seventh record, all right? And to describe Whitechapel, again, we had this little discussion. I mean, they're part of the new wave of American heavy metal movement that, you know, kicked off with, like, bands like Lamb of God and Shadows Fall. They came a little later on. They're based out of Murfreesboro, Tennessee, I believe they are. This is their seventh album. I think I already said that, but who cares? And now this album, Mr. Scott and I were listening to this, and we're trying to, talk about the classification of where these guys stand. There's a lot of death metal elements in there, obviously. A lot of, as actually Mr. Scott pointed out in his reaction video, gent, gent. Mm-hmm. That's where that comes, the gent genre, where bands like Meshuggah and to an extent like Strapping Young Lad and Fear Factory and such. A little bit, of course, Cookie Monster vocals that Mr. Tom loves so much. Yes. But this album actually took a very dramatic.
That's right.
Yeah, this album they actually took a very dramatic turn of events. Their previous album, which they actually call their weakest link, saw an introduction to clean vocals, and it wasn't really grabbed onto by fans. So they really went back to the drawing board, and they decided. What's that?
I just want to know about the clean vocal sound. Mm-hmm. How did you feel about it? I mean, how did that impact you? I mean, you're a huge depth and codified knowledge of metal, and you go from a band who has the Cookie Monster sound, the guttural, the primordial, the Neanderthal vocals, into something that's right. Clean and pure and something that you can understand. How did that affect you?
Me personally, as somebody who loved one of his favorite bands is Opeth, and based on the discussions we've had about Opeth, they've made some very dramatic transitions in their musical stylings, and especially their vocals. Whitechapel didn't really they didn't make a transition as deep as Opeth did. They started incorporating clean vocals in there, so they kept the Cookie Monster vocals in there, but they started experimenting a little more. I wasn't bothered by it. A lot of fans, oh, they're getting soft. They're starting to get commercial. That's like what a lot of fans feel about that. And they also were them themselves. Their reaction, after the album came out, was the previous album. I forgot the name of it at the moment. They were like, okay, we got to go back to the drawing board and see where we can go about with this. Okay. So the album is titled The Valley. And the reason why I'm very high on this album is every overall element of this record, from the title to the cover. And I showed this cover to Tom, and I said, is it just me or this album, the way this comes off? Here's how it reads, okay? The album cover art looks like something from a poster or artwork for a cosmic horror movie. Am I correct, Tom?
Yeah.
Okay. The album is titled The Valley, based on true events by Whitechapel. All right. Okay. The album is a concept record.
Jack the Ripper, I'm assuming, is involved.
No. Not at all. Not at all. It's an autobiographical concept.
It's like aliens based on, and stuff like that.
Okay.
No, not even. Not even.
Happy Valley?
What? Let me explain it.
Give him some room, guys. Back off. Let him breathe.
It's got nothing to do with aliens or anything like that. God. No, it's autobiographical, ghosts, based on the childhood of lead vocalist Phil Bozeman. Phil had based on interviews from what I'm reading on, Phil had a pretty bad go. All right. His dad left at a young age, it's a standard thing. His mom was a drug addict and suffered from mental illness, bipolar, schizophrenia. So there was a lot of problems there. She died when he was 14 years old of a drug overdose. And he came across this journal of hers. And there was a lot of deep stuff in there. And he took portions of his own lyrics that he'd been writing throughout his life to apply to some of these songs on this record, but also incorporated a lot of the entries in this journal into these songs. For instance, When a Demon Defiles a Witch. His mother in the 70s basically had a situation very similar to what Barbara Hershey went through in The Entity.
It's pretty heavy.
Yeah.
Seriously, man, not just that particular instance, but being able to reach down inside yourself and come out with something that means something to you, and then see something and from your dead mother that she's written and incorporate that into your own art is extremely heavy, and it has to have an extreme emotional impact, not just on you, but your art as well.
Mm-hmm. And he took that concept and made all these things, and based on that and his personal lyrics based on his personal experiences, and kind of formed like almost like in a cinematic view, a concept record. Dealing with his way of coping with the things that he went through. I mean, you look at some of the fucking lyrics on here for this record, and it's absolutely it's heartbreaking. It's menacing at the same time. It's in a way frightening.
Well, if you can, please share some of those lyrics. I mean, because
oh gosh, okay, the second track after When a Demon Defiles a Witch is called Forgiveness is Weakness. Let me pull that up really quick, and I will share some. These are some really angry fucking lyrics. Now, from what I understand, this may have something. The topic of this song, there's been a number of theories. It's about a religious cult that his mother got into and fucked her up. And, the lead vocalist is very angry and upset with the people behind that. Here's some of these lyrics. The song starts in here. Here's the first. He is finally dead. Come celebrate this day. It was slow and full of pain. Good riddance. I hope you're born again so I can have my turn to beat you, cut you, put my curse upon you, to pass you down to my bloodline's youth. Admit it all you want. The truth shall never set you free. Revenge is sweet, but so is disease. When it turns you into a slave, you gather your friends and family so they can watch me spit and piss on your grave. Yeah.
That's pretty fucking hardcore, man.
Yeah. Oh, here's my favorite one from that song. We all know you're going to hell. Come back to life so I can fucking send you myself. Dig the casket from the dirt. You don't deserve to be one with the earth.
And that he's talking about his mother.
No, he's talking about the people that drove his mother to, you know, to this. Okay. Yeah. Well,
yeah. So this is a top 10 album of the year then.
Fucking A. Musically, I mean, yeah, the brutality of what Whitechapel is known for is implemented. They still have the doomy elements, the deathcore elements, you know, the heaviness. The song that Scott, did the reaction video for is the bread and butter of what this album is. It lays out the groundwork. What you're looking for, you're going to get that a lot in this record. The vicious, nasty vocals. And then, of course, you know, they do please the Whitechapel song. To Whitechapel fans, there are songs that are just straightforward, fucking heavy, like previous Whitechapel work.
Is this a conceptual album or is this?
Yes. It's a concept album. It's a concept record.
You listen to side A and then side B in order. Mm-hmm. Or else you lose the story completely.
No.
Well, the story can takes many different elements and layers, and it's also in interviews they even said you could take your own approach to each song with some cosmic horror elements. I mean, a demon defiling a witch, you know, the sense of the unknown. Okay, that right there is a cosmic horror element to it.
Yes. Right. It appeals to me. I was listening to the album today, actually.
Yep. It's a great record.
Tommy, you look very happy.
Yes.
It's very atmospheric. The lyrics are very deep. There's a lot of lots of moods, a wide range of moods in this record. And it's not a very long record either. It's very digestible, as I like to put it. It's 40 minutes long.
I know. That surprised me, too, because I was listening to it, then it started over. You know, wait, I was what?
Do it on CD, not vinyl. You have to have it on vinyl, so you can.
The vinyl looks fucking beautiful. Even like the record label, the record like for the inside the sleeve and such. Yeah, it's these guys carefully crafted this record on every aspect, from the artwork to the songwriting structure to the production level. It feels like one of the guys from Banger TV did a review for the record, and he described it. It was a film that came from the same studio that brought you Hereditary. Was it A42?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it has that same kind of feel, that same kind of vibe. Only it's in the form of music.
Makes it the perfect album for the Necrocasticon, Walter.
Exactly. Yeah. It's hard. And, yeah.
That's why it's top 10. A42.
A42 has produced a lot of great songs.
A42. Skip, look at the record. If you have access to something.
A24, isn't it A24?
Or is it A24? No, I'm sorry,
Is it A24?
What is A42?
I thought it was A42, yeah.
Oh, I got the computer in front of me. I'll find out.
Okay, so give me the information.
We've gotten it all there.
Just type Whitechapel the Valley and you'll find the album cover. It looks like a A24, thank you. Yeah. A24 film, the poster for it. And, you know, if you follow the story, watch some of the music videos, too. Mm-hmm. It has that same kind of vibe that you find in these kind of films. And based on true events, that captures – that's fucking marketing 101 right there. That captures, like, oh, something – this looks like something dark and, you know, a dark record or a record with a horror film element. And it says based on true events. What the fuck happened? And you pick the record up and you listen to it.
Yeah.
And there's a whole bio, I mean, you know, on it. So that's brilliant. The cover art is unbelievable. I can't wait to just sit there and delve deeper into this thing. So,
all right. So,
definitely one of my favorite records of the year. Hands down.
Yep.
Might be my favorite.
Ooh, top five then.
But we're only 6 months into the year. We still got a long ways to go.
Yeah, like we found out with movies this year.
Album.
Okay, as we found with movies this year is because so far the crop of films has not been that great. Godzilla King of the Monsters is a fun movie to watch, but is it going to make my top 10 movies of the year? It might not.
Probably not. No.
What about it?
We'll find out.
Well, we'll find out
because we've
there's
got
still
movies.
Plenty of the year to find out.
Yeah, we've got a lot coming up. The end of summer going into fall is top stacked or bottom stacked this year with good horror.
It seems like every production company has produced a half dozen horror films.
In years past, horror movies used to come out in the beginning of the year because they were quick money grabs for a time of the year when people normally don't go to the films.
Yeah.
And now because they've become such money makers, they've become event films. And they come out later in summer and around the holidays.
And doesn't Netflix have a zombie film coming out?
Netflix has got a whole bunch of shit coming out, man.
Yeah, they got a ton of stuff. Yeah. Or is it Netflix or Amazon? I don't know. There's all some right. with Bill Murray in it.
That's actually coming out in the theaters, dude.
In theaters, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, yeah. So that one and Kylo Ren, he's going to be in it, and they're going to be killing zombies in a deadpan.
That's gotten some good buzz. It absolutely has. So Audible produces audio dramas as well as audio adaptions of books.
Okay.
And recently they, to coincide with the 40th anniversary of Alien, they did a production of Alien 3, but not the Alien 3 we got in the theaters. The Alien 3 that was written by William Gibson of Neuromancer and Johnny Mnemonic fame. The guy that created, quote-unquote, the cyberpunk genre.
Well, Johnny Mnemonic was brilliant.
The story is the movie's awful.
Yeah, movie's terrible, but the story is just unbelievable.
So, this William Gibson script is notable because, Scott, you like Alien and Aliens, right?
Right, yeah.
Walter, you're a fan of Alien and Aliens.
Yeah, Aliens. Alien is like one of my top four films ever.
Right, right. And one thing that disappointed a lot of people about Alien 3 was that they just killed off Hicks and Newt off screen. And it was disappointing because of that. Well, Alien 3, Hicks and Newt and Bishop live.
So they're writing a wrong.
Well, this was done before the other one was done.
Original was they survived, and then the screenwriters changed.
The writers' screenwriters changed for dramatic purposes or whatever.
And part of the problem with this one was that Ripley wasn't the main focus character. It was Newt.
Mm. Well, Newt was a very successful character for a lot of people.
And Bishop was heavily involved. And what they got for this audio play, they got Michael Bain, or however you want to say him, I call it, I pronounce it Bean, performing Hicks again, and Lance Hendrickson playing Bishop. And even though Lance Hendrickson sounds like he's 110 years old,
I was about to say,
he still sounds like Bishop. You listen to it. It's 2 hours long. It's worth the $8 that the charge is, if you don't have an Audible account, it's just an $8 movie. All right.
And once again,
drama.
This is a non.
You don't look at anything. You just listen.
Motion.
To it.
We're just
audio.
Just an audio.
I highly recommend it.
He didn't get paid to do this. He's just listening to it and says it's great.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I do here. I review stuff.
Yeah, but you didn't. Scott. You're not paid to review this particular one.
What do you and Kid Rock have in common tonight? Jim Beam.
Jim Beam.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, this week's episode of the Necrocast is brought to you by Skip's bottle of Jim Beam.
Jim Beam. And my bottle of Poland Spring.
Ah, yes. And my Liberty Brew Mountain Dew.
Gurkha Cigars, period. Gurkha Cigars.
That Liberty Brew Mountain Dew tastes like liquid sweet tarts.
You know, Mountain Dew is the piss of the devil.
That's good. That's good. That's good. And Verotic is the room of horror films now. I really want to see this movie now because I want to see how bad it is because I've seen The Room, and that's fucking bad.
Oh, The Room is really bad. I love that movie.
That's
hi,
Mark.
That's a callback
to Danzig's movie.
What's the hi, Mark, they're going to get out of this? Is it going to be some Danzig line?
Oh, hi, Mark.
Mother.
Oh, hi, Mom.
Kitty Litter.
I did not hit that bitch. I did not. Oh. All
right.
Oh, hi, Mark.
All right. So next week on the Necrocasticon, we're going to have a really cool show. We're going to talk to Mike Delpizio from the Sunflower Dead, one of our guests in our first chapter, first
and
volume
brilliant,
of
brilliant
this show.
Lyricist.
Mm-hmm. And as our show has evolved, so has his band, and we're going to talk about those parallels with him when we talk to him. So I can't wait to do that. And got some other cool stuff coming up in the next couple of weeks. We're finally going to get to Walter and John Bowden Metal Foo Showdown.
Oh, hell yeah, John Bowden.
It's coming soon.
Yeah.
To a podcast.
I give it to John right now. I'm predicting this
so,
right now.
So, Walter, this is no pressure. But since I lost to Lucas in the gross out contest, you cannot lose to John Bowden.
He's going to
lose. John knows his stuff.
Yeah, he does, man. Yeah, so John, you
lose,
know your stuff,
I lose,
too.
I lose.
Neck deep.
John knows a lot of older stuff. I mean, how is he with the recent shit, though? That's the thing.
Well, I know John. And
he's good with
it
all, man.
To John,
he's like
and
Dave fucking
hung
Thomas.
Out with him. He actually knows so much. He has an encyclopedia knowledge of all
and
metal.
Giant mutton chops. Giant fucking mutton chops.
I am interested.
His mutton chops fucking big.
You know what's going to end up happening? Instead of like this being a competition, we're just going to end up having a great conversation about metals. What's going to happen?
Yeah, that's the whole goal.
We're going to tag up against you. Tom. We're going to turn on you for your comments about Blind Guardian.
But here's the thing. What you need to talk to John about...
It's happening. It's going to happen.
But what you need to talk to John about is Jedi Summer. Jedi Summer is his McCammon's Boys Life.
All right, let's do our freaking social media here. Yes. Come on, I'm going to turn to a pumpkin.
All right.
All righty. So anyway, Necrocasticon, you can find it on all of the social media, right, Scott? We're on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. I'm at @TokenBottom_Tom on Twitter. Tommy Clark on Facebook. We're the Necrocasticon.com. You can find us there. Link through that to our archive of podcasts over at Project Entertainment Network. Yep. Do all of that. MFA, we talked about that at the beginning of the show. If you want to learn how to write like we do, or Scott's going to, Scott's learning how to write like we do now, aren't you, Scott?
I'm trying.
Right. Yeah.
You're trying to write?
So,
trying to write.
10,000 word fucking story, dude.
15.
15,000 it's now?
15,000?
And it's still not good.
how the shit you sent me was 9,000 words.
I sent you an old one then. I think the other one I got is 15, like close to 15.
My God.
Hey, Tom, Tommy.
You're just a writing fool. I love it.
I know.
So am I.
Tom.
Yes, Skip.
How many conjunctions does he have?
I don't care.
Conjunction.
What's your function? Yeah, hooking up. Falls and phrases and clauses.
But I probably have no adverbs. I don't think I have any adverbs.
I will send fucking Himmler after you.
I'm good about that. Anyway, I've never been bad with my conjunctions.
True story. I got in trouble for in seventh grade for changing the interjection songs to, interjections show excitement and emotion to erections.
Because they do.
We used to do that all the time in chorus. Honest.
Anyway, Scott, where are you on the internet?
I'm everywhere, man. I'm on Twitter at Headstrong Style. I'm on Facebook under my real name, Mr. Scott Groverston. And now, of course, you can subscribe to my new YouTube reaction channel entitled Mr. Scott Reacts. And I take recommendations. Please give me ideas. Give me thoughts. Give me some stuff to react to. I react to anything and everything. Give it to me and thrill me.
And Walter?
You can find me on Twitter at YourWaltBall and Instagram on Smokin_Walt_Ball. Before you go to Skip, I got to finish that story about the erections. I kept singing it. Erection, show excitement and emotion. Hallelujah. I was in seventh grade at a school in Maryland. It was late December. We were moving back to upstate New York because my father was just sick of it down there. I think I told you guys I lived down there for 6 months. And some kid got up and stooged me out to the English teacher who was pregnant at the time. And then she called me over to her desk and she goes, Walter, you must find erections fascinating, huh? And I said, since you're pregnant, I think you do too.
What?
I was done for the rest. I got suspended for, I had 2 days left. I got suspended for 3. I was done.
Awesome. Way to go, Walt.
You know what her name was? Mrs. Cum. I'm not kidding.
That is the greatest story ever.
Dude, I can't laugh this hard at my condition.
There's no way I could top that.
That is just a buster.
Okay, our fallen brother, who is not with us this week, Sergeant Fury Dan Roberts.
He's at home resting. He needs to.
Yeah, he's doing cool stuff tomorrow.
He's got to rest. Yeah,
he's fine.
Yeah,
yep. He's a Fury podcast. You can find him at Sergeant Fury on Tweetface and InstaFace and all that other stuff.
Yes, absolutely. And Skip, you've got a blog.
I do have a blog, but however, I want to follow Scott right now because, I want to watch his videos and I want to send him messages. I want you to react to the Captain Marvel trailer from last year.
Okay. I've already seen that, so it won't be a real reaction.
All right, so thanks Bob Essick for joining us tonight. Want to thank Jim Beam for joining Skip this week.
Joining Skip tonight.
Solon Sangaris.
Solon Sangaris for podcast bombing us.
Pod bomb.
Mm-hmm. A solid man.
I think Skip has a new friend now.
Yep.
I just want to talk to him endlessly.
You don't want to. Dude, it's gonna be. You're gonna lose. That's all I'm gonna say.
You're gonna put him on. You gotta be fucking kidding me. And it's gonna be the last episode ever.
If we put Solon Sangaris on, you gotta be kidding me. It would be a ratings fucking phenomenon.
It will be as crazy as Fear on Saturday Night Live. Let's just say that.
There you go.
All right. Guess what I'm doing right now?
Skip. Smoking pot?
No. I am closing this chapter of the NecroCasticon.
Closed.
All right, I gotta go because I got Playful to go. I got 2 hours of work ahead of me now.
Yeah, I got an anniversary and Father's Day to celebrate. So
happy anniversary!
Thank you. It's Sunday.
Happy Father's Day, boys.
Yes, happy Father's Day, my friends. And we'll talk to you guys sometime this week, sir.
All right, and I'm sorry I talked to you so much.
All right, it's all good, man.
Bye.
The NecroCasticon is an exclusive presentation of the Project Entertainment Network, written and produced by Thomas Clark, Scott Groveston, Walter Ball, and Dan Roberts. Music provided by Daniel Edenfield.
My Favorite Story, a podcast author anthology featuring short fiction from the hosts of the Project Entertainment Network shows
Three Guys with Beards,
Jim Moore, Jonathan Maybury,
and Chris Golden,
Tom Clark from Necrocast, Igbon,
Brian Keene of The Horror Show,
Chuck Buddha, and Armand Rosamilia of The Mando Method,
Mary San Giovanni of Cosmic Shenanigans,
Jay Wilburn from Matters of Faith,
John Urban Sick of Ink Stains,
Bizung's Mr. Frank,
available on Kindle and in paperback and through the Project Entertainment Network store.
www.projectentertainmentnetwork.com.
This has been an exclusive presentation of the Project Entertainment Network.